Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are back in Psalm 32. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you to turn there. And we're going to work our way through this passage. And last couple of days I've been reading through verse 5. And I'm going to add verses 6 and 7 because that will be the center of our focus this morning. Here's what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Now, the last two mornings we've been kind of focusing our attention on the reality of sin and how if a person wants to be a blessed person, that issue of sin has to be dealt with. And we're not able to escape the reality of sin without consequence. But what I think is great about this psalm is that David does not just stop with the sin problem. And what he actually is going to do is he's going to show that God is not just going to address our sin issue, but he's actually going to address our great needs on a daily basis that go into other areas of life. And so notice what he says in verses 6 and 7. He says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. In the flood of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Now, we've seen at the beginning of the psalm, it's called a mashal, which has the idea of something that is a contemplation or it's a reflection. And then we see this word Selah several times. It means we stop and we reflect. So what David's basically doing is he's saying, God, I know what it's like to cover my sin and refuse to focus on what is standing between me and you. I also know what it's like to confess that sin, to find forgiveness in your redemptive work, and for that fellowship to be established and my sin to be dealt with. But that's not the stopping place. I know you not just as the redeemer from sin, but I know you as the sustainer and the strengthener of my life in every single area. And so he really addresses two issues. The first is this. He's saying, when I'm in a desperate position, God is available. Notice the phrase in verse 6. He says, the godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mightest be found. He says, when I go through challenges in life, not only have I found you to be my savior in the sense of saving me from the penalty of sin, but I also know you to be my savior in the temporal challenges of life. I know that you are available. I know that I can come to you. And so he expresses that. And not only is he expressing that as a reflection personally, but there really is a sense in which David is proclaiming this to others because he's saying, just as God has redeemed us from sin and God has saved us from the penalty of sin, he, our Father, our Redeemer, is available to strengthen us when we are in desperate positions. And so, when he can be found, turn to him. That's what he's saying. But then there's a second aspect to this. He's talking about the fact that not only is God available, he's accessible, but he is actively defending, he is actively protecting, he is actively delivering his children. And so he says, I know I can come to you and that you are accessible because this is how you work in my life. And he expresses that in verse 7. He says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now, when David talks about God being his hiding place, we know that David understood this in a very personal and a very practical sense. Think about all the times that his father-in-law Saul, when he was a young man, was chasing him and wanted to kill him, and he's hiding for his life. Who is the one who ultimately protected him, who ultimately hid him, preserved him to the point where ultimately he would become the next king in Israel? Well, the answer is it was God. When David was in the midst of battle and he was fighting and his life was on the line and those around him were fighting and their lives were on the line, and David survived the combat situations that he was in, who protected him? The answer is it was God. So in times of trouble, God was there. He was preserving his life. When David needed to be hid, God was there. He was hiding him. And then he says, "You compass me with songs of deliverance." He says, "My life is full of examples that sing your praise, that declare that you are a God who delivers, who saves, who preserves, who protects." Now, this was not just David's testimony. The fact is, if you're a Christian, you can also say with David that you are my hiding place, you preserve me from trouble, and you compass me about with songs of deliverance. David is saying this to the congregation because he wants them to know God the way that he knows God. This is preserved for us in the scriptures because God wants us to know him the same way that David knew him. And so we see that God is available, he's accessible, he is personally protecting, defending, and caring for his children. And so when we read Psalm 32, it's not just dealing with the sin problem, though that is fundamentally our greatest problem, but it's showing us that God is our refuge in all of life. So here's the question I want us to close on. The question is, how do you take these truths and apply them in your practical life today? Here's the first thing that I'll share with you. Let's remember that God's care over us, his children, is exhaustive. It covers every single area of our lives. When we're struggling financially, when we're struggling physically, when we're struggling relationally, when we're dealing with challenges in life, and the way that things are going is hard for us to understand, when we feel threatened, when we're in danger, every area of our life becomes a platform through which God says, "Turn to me, call upon me, and I will defend you. I will deliver you. I will preserve you. I will shape you through those things." That's what we're saying. God's care for us as his children is exhaustive. It covers everything from the day that we're born to the day that we die. And it goes on beyond the day that we're born, even to the day that we were conceived and God preserved our life in our mother's womb. And even after we die, God will preserve us eternally and we will enjoy his presence forever. That's the sense of God's care. The second thing I'll mention is this. We should, as we grow in our Christian experience, grow in our appreciation for this truth. As we go through life, we should be learning about God in an experiential way. We can read about it in scripture, we can talk about it intellectually, but it is the experience of life that takes the truth that we read and the truth that we understand with our heads, and it becomes experientially rich. And so this is a part of the Christian experience. Third, I want to remind you that God is your Father. And as your Father, he can be trusted. Remember what Jesus said when he was talking about prayer. He says, if you were to go to your physical father, who is not a perfect man, he is a sinner, and you ask him for bread, is he going to give you a stone? The answer is no. If you ask him for fish, is he going to give you a snake? The answer is no. He says, if your father, who is a sinner, knows how to give good things to those who are his children, how much more does your heavenly Father, who is perfect and holy and righteous and just and full of wisdom and full of kindness, how much more would our heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to his children? And how much more should we be able to trust our heavenly Father who is good? And so my challenge to you this morning is very simple. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's enjoy him. Let's delight in him. And let's flee to him in times of desperation. I know this is a little bit late this morning, but I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. Have a blessed day. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue our study. Bye now.